This week's program is about media freedom in Turkey. And as you might already know, one of the main headlines from the past few days was the trial of Dutch journalist Frederik Geerdink. Geerdink, who is based in the Kurdish-majority southeastern city of Diyarbakir, is being accused of terrorist propaganda for the banned Kurdistan Workers' Party, the PKK. Geerdink's arrest and brief detention back in January provoked immediate anger from international rights groups. She was then charged with publishing material in support of the PKK, charges which could have seen her jailed for up to 5 years. But it now looks like she might be alright. Earlier this week, a prosecutor pleaded for acquittal. Geerdink told RFI she was confident that the judge, who will give his verdict this Monday, would acquit her.
Well, it seems a little bit strange that first a prosecutor opens a case and then asks for acquittal, but it's a different, that's how the Turkish system works, a different prosecutor handles the case in court. And they asked for my acquittal because I didn't post messages in support of the PKK, and that's exactly why I was acquitted, because I'm doing journalism and I'm never making any propaganda. And apparently the prosecutor handling my case saw that very clearly too, so they asked for my acquittal. That they didn't acquit me immediately yesterday is just because the main judge of the court of Diyarbakir was not present. He will be back on Monday and then the ruling will be final. And if even the prosecutor asks for acquittal, there's very, very, very small chance that the judge will not follow this.
But while rights defenders say her acquittal would be good news, her case highlights concerns about press freedom in Turkey under President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. Emre Kılıçkaya, the vice president of the International Press Institute's Turkish National Committee and the managing editor at the English-language Hurriyet Daily News, explains the situation.
The Turkey's press freedom problems go beyond the arrested or imprisoned, whether convict or detainee journalists. We have other problems here too. There are separate cases, but right now most of the journalists are accused of belonging to a terror organization. Some of them are linked to the PKK. Some of them are linked to other groups, including far-left groups.
According to the International Federation of Journalists, a total of 21 journalists, all media workers, including reporters, columnists, photographers and technical staff, are currently behind bars in Turkey. The country ranks 149 out of 180 in this year's Reporters Without Borders Press Freedom Index. According to the French NGO, in 2014, Turkey's underlying situation score, covering such areas as cyber censorship, lawsuits, dismissals of critical journalists and gag orders, worsened. Erdogan, who ruled Turkey from 2003 to 2014 as Prime Minister and as President since last year, has long been accused by his opponents of being increasingly authoritarian and intolerant of criticism. Journalists in the country say they face threats from the government on a daily basis. Zeynep Oral, a journalist and the president of human rights group PEN Turkey, told RFI that now is the worst time for press freedom in Turkey.
I've seen three military coups in my lifetime. The first one was when I was a student, so I wasn't so much aware of it. I was very young. But the two others, at least then, you knew what you could say, what you couldn't say, what was forbidden, what was going to be censored. So we had this technique of writing in between the lines. But now you never know what can happen. The same sentences can be said by different people, and one will be booed by the crowds because the president asks the people in meetings to boo them. And the same sentence said by different people would have different reactions. One will be prosecuted, taken to court case, the other will not. You never know. You never know what will happen.
Last month, a court fined two leading cartoonists after convicting them of insulting Erdogan in a caricature referring to the increasingly tough environment for journalists in the country. And such cases are not a rare occurrence in Turkey. Kızılkaya says Erdoğan is not just putting journalists in jail, but also intimidating the press via other means.
I think that they are changing this strategy because at one point, it was 2 years ago, that there were more than 100 journalists in Turkish prisons. It was when the government, the governing party, AKP, was allied with the Gülen movement. Now they are fighting with each other, and the current government is now accusing the Gülen movement of making plots and jailing journalists, although actually the government itself was approving of such jailings at that time. Now the number is lower compared to that time. The tactics of suppressing free speech just changed. Instead of jailing, now, for instance, president himself, with a lot of court cases, filing criminal complaints about journalists of insulting him. And many of them, including editor-in-chiefs, have already testified in front of prosecutors. Even two cartoonists received jail sentences, suspended jail sentences, because of insulting President Erdoğan. So the problem still continues, but in other ways. It's all about intimidation. And there are different methods to do this. These are all more popular tactics now.
The Turkish government has also become famous for blocking access to social media. Just last week, Ankara blocked access to Twitter, Facebook and YouTube after the publication of images showing prosecutor Mehmet Selim Kiraz held captive by a left-wing group who later killed him. Erdoğan accused the press of being an accomplice in the death of Kiraz. Such comments have recently been criticized by the European Union as well as the United States. European Parliament President Martin Schulz, who met with top Turkish officials, warned last week against a clampdown on press freedom. But Oral doesn't think this will have an impact on Erdogan's policy.
No, I don't think that it makes a great change. But since now, I mean, let's face it, the Western world pampered so much Erdoğan. They applauded every movement he did. Now that they are seeing what's really happening, is at least a support for the people who have been trying to open their eyes for so long. I mean, maybe the EU is seeing the situation, what's happening here lately. But there have been some other organizations which have been trying to help a lot.
Emre Kızılkaya agrees with her.
I think that the international pressure has a role. Turkey's governance definitely care about what the outside world says about Turkey. But the problem is you cannot foresee how the Turkish government will react to a feedback from abroad. They definitely care, and sometimes, but after a while, when I guess he saw that he would win, the ruling party would win this fight, they think they are powerful enough to confront any foreign threat too. And he has now a fortress mentality that he maybe thinks that he's besieged by all the foreign powers and plotters, and on one side Europe and on one side Iran and Syria, etc. So with this fortress mentality, it's really hard to produce rational policy.
The situation of media freedom might be getting worse in Turkey, but Frederik Herdink says she'll stay there.
Yes, I will continue to work here. I think there's a lot of journalistic work to carry out. There's still a peace process going on in Turkey that needs covering. And in other parts of Kurdistan, in Syria and Iraq, the fight against ISIS is ongoing. So I will go on working, and I feel more secure now that I will not be in trouble with Turkish justice again.
For the time being, Herdink will remain in Turkey, where she will continue to cover her own trial as she tries to practice her craft of journalism. For RFI, I'm Fabien-Yannick Charbonnel.